Nearly 2 years of delay, it now comes down to a judge who will decide whether the Pfizer whistleblower case will either be dismissed or proceed. And if the judge allows this case to go forward, the pharmaceutical giant will be opened up to discovery, leaving them vulnerable to potential damaging scrutiny as Pfizer's clinical trial quality for their COVID vaccine will be up for the world to review. That, my friends, is going to be the subject of today's episode. And so from Trial Site News, I am Adrian, and our episode is starting right now. So in Beaumont, Texas, last week, attorneys for whistleblower Brooke Jackson argued in court that their case should now advance to the discovery stage, while the defendants, Pfizer and two subcontractors, Icon and Ventavia Research Group, had their attorneys ask for the judge to dismiss the case. And what do you suppose their argument was? Well, they said that protocol violations, whether they occurred or not, don't matter. Why? Well, you see, because the federal government was aware of them, but still granted the emergency authorization to Pfizer's vaccine. What? You heard that right. Pfizer's argument is that the Normal Food and Drug Administration and Related Good Clinical Practice, or GCP, standards did not apply based on overarching government contracts negotiated and memorialized as part of the U.S. government's declared national public health emergency. Pfizer is literally arguing that all the rules, processes, and best practices required of all drug and vaccine producers do not apply, as their agreement with the government as part of the emergency supersedes such basic practices established over decades to ensure quality and, most importantly, patient safety. This argument seems like a huge stretch, given the terms between the U.S. and Pfizer clearly call for adherence to regulatory rules, standards, and norms. How else can a quality drug or vaccine be developed? In the recent hearing, Judge Truncale questioned Jackson's attorney about key clauses in the government and Pfizer's agreement that clearly delineate the need for adherence to the standard quality and patient safety rules and practices. Fred Barnes, Jackson's attorney, suggested in a recent interview that this clearly points to a judge that is looking at the facts and the law honestly. As of filming for this episode, the judge has not yet issued a ruling. But the stakes are enormous here. While this case has received practically no media attention, the actions of this judge could very well shake the foundation of Pfizer if he allows the case to proceed to discovery. So let's take a step back and look at how we got here and why this lawsuit is taking place to begin with. It all begins with Brooke Jackson, a clinical trials professional with over 2 decades of experience. She was employed by Ventavia, an investigational site network in Texas. Her job was to manage 3 trial sites and over 1,000 study participants for the Phase 3 Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine clinical trial. During this time, Jackson observed numerous egregious quality breaches. After she attempted to repeatedly notify Ventavia of these problems, she realized they were not taking heed of her concerns. So, she recorded evidence of these many violations and filed a formal complaint to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration back on September 25th. And incredibly, on that very same day that she filed her complaint to the FDA, Ventavia fired her. Their excuse? She was not a good fit. No, I guess maybe she wasn't. So what about her complaint to the FDA then? While there was initially an inspector that responded to Brooke's complaint, that person quickly retired, and the agency never bothered to follow up on Jackson's claims. In fact, according to a piece by Sonia Elijah on TrialSiteNews.com, the FDA inspected only 1% of Pfizer's trial sites. And so Jackson then filed suit, filing a False Claims Act lawsuit. However, the court sealed the lawsuit, which prevented Jackson from discussing the case openly. This lasted for nearly a year until the case was unsealed in 2022, after the government finally declined to back Jackson's case. In fact, the U.S. government went a step further and filed in support of the motions to dismiss, because of course they did. And so, Jackson then submitted her findings to the British Medical Journal, otherwise known as the BMJ, which is a prestigious peer-reviewed medical journal, which not only substantiated her observations, but published an article on the matter. But surprise, surprise, that piece by the BMJ was heavily censored by social media giants like Facebook, who warned the BMJ that their information could, you see, mislead people. Ah, the age of censorship. However, did we get along before our social media masters helped filter what information we were allowed to consume? Anyway, as part of a lawsuit, Jackson claims that Ventavia, Pfizer, and Icon acted to not only cover up shocking, egregious mishaps and intentional manipulation and deprioritizing patient safety, but also engaged in a cover-up of errors and malfeasance throughout the study. Jackson's concerns that led to the whistleblower lawsuit included a lack of experienced and certified trial site staff. The informed consent process was inadequate. COVID vaccines were stored at incorrect temperatures, potentially compromising their effectiveness. Electronic diaries of participants' reactogenicity were not properly reviewed. Clinical trial staff were unblinded since the randomization scheme was placed in every participant's chart. Lab specimens were mislabeled. Fabrication of data, including participants' informed consent signatures and lab specimen logs. Potentially COVID-19 positive trial participants were untested due to a lack of testing supplies. Adverse events were not investigated or followed up on in a timely manner. Expired emergency medications in the crash cart included expired epinephrine, the cornerstone of emergency treatment, plus other essential items that were missing. And the principal trial investigator was typically absent and rarely seen at the sites. Now, Trial Site News founder Daniel O'Connor, who is a graduate of University of California College of the Law, has spent nearly 25 years developing software products and complementary services that adhere to FDA rules and GCP. Here is what he said on the matter. Daniel said, "I have reviewed much of the documentation associated with that case, and under any normal circumstances, likely the trial sites involved with the alleged violations would have been put temporarily on hold during the Phase 3 study, making way for inspection and root cause investigation. But more than likely, the declared national public health emergency and associated concern for morbidity, mortality, politicization, and perhaps other agendas not readily understood, as of yet, led to a very different dynamic benefiting the company and shareholders versus consumers and the general public. Pfizer has played ruthless pandemic hardball, not just in cases like Ms. Jackson, but also with entire nation states during the pandemic, as evidenced by Public Citizen's excellent investigation called Pfizer's Power. The company exploited the pandemic to the fullest, maximizing revenues and profits while minimizing liability, all enabled by a more than docile supporting government across both Republicans and Democrats. Frankly, it's not surprising that the company would exploit the crisis to the extent it did, given intense shareholder pressures, general apathy, lack of critical awareness in the public domain, a complicit, fairly incompetent government, not to mention the active, overt censorship regime established during the pandemic to stifle any critical engagement in the name of protecting the people from dangerous misinformation." So back to the recent hearing to dismiss the case. Jackson's attorney Fred Barnes in a recent interview said that the judge asked three important questions involving the interpretation of the Pfizer and U.S. government's contract. While Pfizer argued that key clauses demanding quality and adherence to good clinical practices are superseded by the governing terms of the master agreements between the pharmaceutical company and the government during the declared public health emergency, Barnes points out that the actual terms in governing agreements do necessitate adherence to standard FDA rules and quality considerations associated with drug and vaccine development. Barnes went on to say that he believes that a conflict of interest does exist at the higher levels of the Biden Department of Justice, as it was his administration that promulgated COVID-19 vaccine mandates. And indeed, it does seem like a valid question to ask. Does the current federal leadership have an interest in exposing what appears to be egregious forms of fraud and misrepresentation? The Department of Justice did issue a statement of interest in the case, and yet hasn't attempted to intervene in the matter. In the meantime, according to a report by the Epoch Times, Jackson hopes the case will move forward, allowing her lawyers to depose principal investigators at each clinical trial site, and possibly even Dr. Anthony Fauci. Warner Mendenhall, another attorney for Jackson, said prior to the hearing that many other trial sites were actually being run in a manner that is not appropriate for getting good data. "We get Pfizer's internal documents, and we can really dig into what happened to these 44,000 trial participants that they had. And if they don't have good data, then that emergency use authorization is then pulled back by the FDA. They don't have enough data to support it. And if that happens, this whole thing is over. The mandates are over. The shot is over. Now, as for Brooks Jackson, she said, "I love my country. I'm anti-corruption. It's all about the vaccine injured for me and taking down pharma." And so we play the waiting game. The stakes are enormous here, and it's anyone's guess as to what will happen next. And that, my friends, will bring our episode to a close once more. For more content like this, be sure to check back to this channel daily, Monday through Friday, or for written articles every day, 7 days a week, feel free to check us out at trialsitenews.com. And as ever, always, my friends, thank you so much for joining me on the program today. From Trial Site News, I am Adrian, and I will see you all next time.